Quiet Mind, Day 52. The Myth of Mine. Ownership is just a story we all agree to pretend is real. Picture yourself on a bustling New York City street, pointing up at a towering skyscraper and saying, "That's mine." Now, either you're a billionaire with a very good lawyer, or you've officially lost touch with reality. Either way, what you're really doing is telling a story. You've mentally merged two thought bubbles, I and building, into one grand tale of ownership. And society either applauds it with contracts, keys, or a subject, or suggests you consider therapy. But here's the twist. Whether everyone agrees with your story, or no one does, that whole narrative still has nothing to do with who you really are. It's just mental theater. Ownership is a concept, a human agreement, a shared fiction. And it's usually not until someone is staring down the final act of their life, when all the costumes and props start to fall away, that they realize none of it ever mattered. That fancy car, that dream house, even that cherished heirloom, they weren't you. They were masks the ego wore, hoping to feel more real. Strip away your stuff and maybe you'll find what's underneath. But don't be fooled. Giving away your possessions doesn't automatically unplug the ego. It just gets sneakier. Now it whispers, "Look how enlightened I am. I own nothing. I'm clearly more spiritual than those materialistic peasants." And boom, the ego's found a new costume. It doesn't really care what the mask looks like, as long as it gets to keep wearing one. Even anti-materialism can become another ego game. If you use it to make yourself feel right and others wrong, congratulations, you've just given your ego a new cause to cling to. The content of your identity may change, but the structure of the ego, the constant need to define, compare, and separate, remains stubbornly in place. Deep down, the ego clings to things because it believes stuff gives it substance. I have, therefore I am. Especially when it comes to land or real estate, solid, enduring, and deeply symbolic. But ownership gets extra absurd when you look at land. Native Americans, for example, didn't even understand the concept. They saw themselves as belonging to the land, not the other way around. Then came Europeans with their contracts and confusion, and the land was bought out from under them. It wasn't a fair fight. One side was talking soul and connection. The other was talking signatures and ownership. The ego thrives on comparison. It doesn't compare what you have, only how it stacks up. A mansion means something only if others are stuck in shacks. If everyone were rich, having more wouldn't make you feel special. So the ego shapeshifts again. Fine, I'll be the one who renounces it all and lives simply. Now you're spiritual and superior. Win-win, until you realize the ego still has the mic. Eventually, how you believe others see you becomes how you see yourself. And if society tells you your value comes from what you own, guess what? You'll spend your life sprinting on the acquisition treadmill, hoping to finally feel complete. Spoiler, you won't. So how do you ditch this attachment to stuff? Here's the trick. You don't. Not actively, anyway. It falls away naturally once you stop trying to find yourself in it. Just start by noticing. Watch yourself freak out when your favorite mug breaks or when you drop your phone. That panic, that's attachment. That's your ego trying to anchor itself in a thing. But the moment you see the attachment, you've already begun to loosen its grip. You're no longer completely fused with it. You've become the awareness that sees the story. And that, right there, is where transformation begins.